And happy Purim to everyone. I'd like to share several ideas that the Rebbe speaks about the Megillah, Purim, and so on. In the Megillah we find that Haman, realizing that Mordechai does not want to bow to him, he orders to make a gallows 50 cubits high for Mordechai, in which his intention was to hang Mordechai. It is brought down in Svarim. Why did Haman make a gallows of 50 cubits high? It could have been not such a high gallows. Now the Targum, which is one of the classic commentaries on the Megillah Esther, explains that this was in order to accommodate Haman and his 10 sons. And the Targum makes the exact calculation that allowing 3 cubits for each one of them, 1.5 cubits of space in between, the 50 cubits are accounted for. But the question is that Haman certainly did not have this in mind. He definitely did not consider that his sons would be hanged. So what was Haman's reason for making the gallows 50 cubits high? Now the Gemara explains in Baba Basra that there are various measurements which show, which demonstrate a separate domain. There is Arba Amis, 4 cubits of a person, which are considered his personal domain. There is the area outside those 4 cubits. Then the Gemara discusses that there is a measurement of 50 cubits. 50 cubits represents a great distance and a totally separate domain. The Gemara discusses this in Baba Basra in connection with a shevach, a nest, and this is considered an altogether separate area. This is the idea of why Haman wanted to make the gallows 50 cubits. Haman wanted to demonstrate with the 50 cubit gallows that Mordechai is a very sublime and holy individual, but he is too far beyond the ability to deal with the everyday matters of the Jewish people. When Mordechai went to gather the Jewish children to learn, and he learned with them the laws of the Emir, Haman argued, Mordechai is too high for you. Although he is such a great person, he is such a high person, he asks you to learn Torah, but Mordechai nevertheless transcends this mundane world in which you are living, and he actually cannot relate to you. He is totally beyond you, was Haman's argument. So on the one hand, Haman is elevating. He is picking up Mordechai to a very high level. And although Haman was describing Mordechai in glowing colors, he was showering him with quote-unquote compliments. In reality, his scheming intentions were to tear away the little children from Mordechai. What does this mean? What can we learn from this? Sometimes you can try to tear something or someone away from a good thing with brutal force. And sometimes, as was the case here with Haman, you can couch your devious plans in a sugar coating. The proof of one's real intentions is in the end result. What does he want to accomplish with his sweet talk? That's where you look at what are his true intentions. And the same applies to anyone who might be offering very sweet and lofty compliments about the Rebbe and about the study of Chassidus. There are some people who will admittedly tell you, oh, the Rebbe, he is a very great person. But who can understand him? He is so great that we can't understand. And seemingly, what they are doing is picking up the Rebbe to a very high level. Others will give you the same argument about the study of Chassidus, or why they don't want to study Chassidus. Chassidus, it's a very deep, profound study, it's a very deep philosophy, and who can understand Chassidus, especially people like us? Halavai, that we should be able to learn the revealed part of Torah. We should start talking and learning and thinking about the matters discussed in Chassidus. Who can understand that? So again here, this is Chassidus is being showered and lifted up to a very high level. But you look at the end result of what these people want at the bottom line. People like this may say that the Rebbe is very great, that his teachings are very high, and so how can we understand, being that we are so very distant, and so on, from the Rebbe, from the study of Chassidus, and so on. All this sugar-coated talk can be with the intention of furthering someone, God forbid, from the Rebbe. And if that is his intent, it doesn't matter how glowingly he may describe the loftiness and greatness of the Rebbe, or the greatness of studying Chassidus, this person is following a similar pattern of Haman. How can you know what the person wants, what the person is doing? You look at the bottom line. Are these sweet words, quote unquote, bringing someone closer to the Rebbe? Or is there an opposite result? Does the person want to tear away someone from the Rebbe? Sometimes you can tell a person, the Rebbe is so great, how can you come to him? You are so low and he is so great. Yeah, and what? That means that you should not relate. It means you should not connect, God forbid, with the Rebbe. And when someone describes the idea similarly of Mashiach, people also take the same approach, the same pattern. Mashiach is a very holy, lofty concept. It is so sublime that how can we, simple people, how can we mortals, relate to Mashiach? And the same they'll tell you, the Rebbe spoke about Mashiach? Of course he spoke about Mashiach. But we simple people understood what the Rebbe said. We can have a comprehension of what the Rebbe spoke. And for that matter, they argue, how can we understand the significance of the Rebbe's words that they are so far beyond us and so on? So on the one hand, they're picking up the Rebbe, yes? But if this dampens our enthusiasm in Mashiach, if this cools off our excitement and our actions, our deeds in connection with Mashiach, it is similar to the plans of Haman. We have to follow the words of Mordechai. We have to follow the words of the Rebbe and not be distracted by arguments which are the arguments of Haman. We have to remember that the Rebbe told us, he gives man geulaschem, the geula is on the threshold of coming, and that's what we have to focus on and not be distracted, God forbid, by any other words, even if they are coated with sweet talk and so on. Ein lanu ela divrei b'Rambam. We only have the words of the Rebbe that we have to adhere to, focus on, and fulfill what he demanded and expected of us. This shir is dedicated to Chus, of Shalom ben Freide, Feger Acharach Basitahenye, the children, their grandchildren, the son-in-law and daughter-in-law, Asher Yichyu, for the fulfillment of all the Rebbe's brachas in their entirety and all their needs.